Time now for Heart to Heart. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. Another pretty day. I have to tell you, this thunderstorm activity, you know, it's got its good side and its bad side. It's like you never know what to plan and whether you're going to be able to do anything. But on the other hand, I don't have to water every single day. So all those beautiful flowers and everything I have are getting plenty of watering from Mother Nature. So that's been a big help, too. So I'm very excited this morning. Our guest is just such a joy, and she's just so upbeat, and I always love having her. It's Betsy Cohen is returning to us, also known as Psychic Betsy. She's a psychic medium and an inspirational speaker, and you'll know why when you hear from her. She's named one of the top 10 psychics in New York. She's a regular contributor to the Daily Love and Vice magazines. She's a resident psychic medium, for Vice magazine. So she also serves individuals and groups, and she hosts weekly intuitive development circles. She's a Reiki master who has been practicing the healing arts for over 5 years now, but her greatest passion is teaching tangible ways for people to tune into their own innate intuitive abilities. And we're going to talk about that this morning, because that's one of the things I love too. Sometimes people just don't realize that they have the ability to do this themselves. So I love sort of helping them find those ways to do that. And so does Betsy. So good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks so much for having me back.
Yeah. Well, I love you coming back. So let's tell people, because not everybody will have heard some of your story from last time. But, you know, you had a lot of health concerns as a child and a lot of different things that sort of pointed you in this direction. So tell us a little bit about how you came to be what you are now.
Yeah, sure. Well, if we go way back, when I was born, they did not know if I was going to live past age three. I was riddled with food allergies and asthma. I was covered in rashes. And it was really scary time for my parents. And so as I continued to grow, my food allergies continued to exist. My mom said I could eat about 5 foods when I was younger.
Oh, that must have been great for her.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
What to have for dinner was a real challenge.
Yes, absolutely. And by the time I was 4, actually, I was on inhalers and I was on pills to manage my illnesses that I had. And so what happened was, you know, asthma and allergies, and if I ate a particle of a peanut, I would go into anaphylactic shock, which means I could die within 2 minutes. My throat would close. So death was sort of always looming over me on my plate and in other places.
Scary for your parents.
Yeah.
I mean, it
very
just,
scary.
Yeah.
Very scary. What they say is they did a really good job of keeping me alive, and that was what their focus was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting because I think all of us have a story from our childhood. And our parents could be the best parents in the world, or they could be sort of not the best parents in the world, but we know that they are always doing the best that they could. And I know my parents really, as they said, did a good job of keeping me alive, and that was a huge focus. And what happened was the energy that they put on me surviving was all the energy that they had, and they didn't have a lot of energy for my emotional needs. And so I got a lot of attention for my health ailments, but I was also very sensitive emotionally, and that basically got ignored. And so, you know, you kind of see the kid in the supermarket that is like, mommy, 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 and the mom's like ignoring the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like really annoying to see that, but also you feel for the kid. It's just like, oh, just be present with the kid. Just, you know, acknowledge that the kid is wanting to talk to you. That was kind of like my upbringing. Lots of love, lots of care of making sure that I was alive, but they used all their energy for that. So then, you know, we fast forward into my young adult life, and I had a huge need for attention. You know, I was one of those people with crazy colored hair and piercings and really loud, somewhat obnoxious as well. Because I realized when I was 19, the reason why I was acting and looking this way is because I needed a lot of attention, and it was attention getting. And when I approached my parents with that theory, they owned up to it. You know, very much kudos to them. They owned up and they said, "Yeah, we didn't really have a lot of more energy for you to address your emotional needs." And so I did get a BA in psychology in college, and then I went on to study social work for 10 years, well, actually work in social work for 10 years. So I got a lot of experience working one-on-one with people, with groups, delivering hard-to-hear messages in a compassionate way. And then it was about when I was 27 when I had a dark night of the soul. So things got worse. I was burnt out at my job. My apartment was infested with bed bugs, which is it's really, really terrible.
Yes, we've heard horrible things about that in the New York area.
Really, really bad, yes. And I was brokenhearted and burnt out at my job. And so it was at that point that I actually had an accident where I was on the top of a flight of stairs and I fell. I didn't fall down the stairs. I fell off the side of the stairs onto my head.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Right onto my head, and I got a pretty bad concussion, and keep in mind, I had all these other dark things going on, and when they were doing the, when they were checking out my body and my head, my spine, to make sure that I was okay, they found out from the fall I had a bad concussion, but I had another pre-existing condition, which is a hole in my spinal cord right near my brain stem. So that's the very top of your spine.
Mm-hmm.
And the prognosis for that is pretty grim. The prognosis is that I could basically die at any moment if I turn my head the wrong way. Or I could become a paraplegic, or I could lose bladder control or limb function control. Just if I basically turn my head the wrong way.
Oh, my goodness, Betsy. I mean, that would be, like, so frightening.
Yes, it's terrifying. Well, it was terrifying. And it's basically like Chicken Little with the sky is falling, you know. And that's a really good metaphor, too, is that, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. No, the sky is not falling, but you could be terrified of everything that's around you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's really interesting because I did want to talk about the news a little bit, which I'll talk about in just a minute. But just for instance, one of the local news stories that was just airing was a car crashing into a house. And so it's like not only do people have to worry about getting hit by a car on the street, but now they're no longer safe in their homes because a car could actually jump into your home and get you. And so it's like we could spend our time worrying, oh my gosh, you know, my bedroom wall is the one that's facing the street. I don't know if I should move my bed because a car could crash into it.
See, Betsy, this is why I don't listen to the news.
Yes, and that's one of my pieces of advice, exactly. Or you can get present and you can say, okay, right now, I am sitting in my New York City apartment and there's a beautiful day outside and my cat's sitting at my feet. And I'm talking to Jackie on the radio, and I feel really good, and I feel really safe. I'm going to feel into my body. I feel really safe, as opposed to being like, oh, my gosh, I could die at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the choice that I had to make. I didn't make it right away. I didn't have the tools or even the words to put on it. I did spend a few months with searing pain running through my muscles because I was so stressed out. Because I was in that mindset of, oh, my gosh, the sky is falling because I could turn my head the wrong direction and just die. But then it gets into this point. It was like, live for today, right? Like,
we
have this moment, and nobody knows if they'll be alive the next moment.
That's exactly right, Betsy.
You know, you don't know if a car is going to hit you. You don't know if your heart is going to stop. You don't know if you have a hole in your spinal cord. You don't know what's going to happen. And so what that does is you get to either live in fear and get totally stressed out and have your body break down, because we know that in the Western world, we know this fact that 80% of disease is caused by stress. So when you're in fear, you're expressing a lot of stress, or you can look at what's right in front of you, open up your eyes and be like, my cat's sitting at my feet, I feel good. And so speaking of the news, you know, I was on hold while the news was going on, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners heard the news. So we got the national news, which was hidden bombs in your toothpaste.
Yeah.
We've got what happens after you die to your social media account. So we've got bombs and death. And then the local news is cars crashing into houses, explosives in your car, and fires. And so what happens is, and this is what I want to encourage people to do, is I'm encouraging people to get in the driver's seat of their own life, decide what it is that they want to expose themselves to. And so the news, like facts of the news in itself, like the regular news, I'm talking about the news that we just heard, the nightly news, the, you know, 10 o'clock news or whatever, the newspapers, all those things, those things don't have any positive news in them. And so I was thinking, like, when I was listening to the news stories, what if I was, like, new to this planet and I wanted to know about our society? And so what I did was I turned on the news to find out. Like, the news should tell us about humanity, right? It should tell us what's mm-hmm. going on in the world. So I was like, okay, I'm new to this planet. I want to know what's going on in the world. And I got hidden bombs and toothpaste, what happens after you die to your social media account, cars crashing into houses, explosives in cars, and fires. I would think that this place is an extremely dangerous, volatile, unsafe, I'm going to get out of here world or just crawl under a rock. Mm-hmm. And our brain actually has the same reaction. So it's kind of like what we feed ourselves. It's like coffee in itself is not a bad thing, but if you feed your body 3 or 4 cups of coffee, you might run into some health issues. You might have heart palpitations. You might have other issues going on. And so with the news, it's the same thing. Your brain just registers, oh, my gosh, there's a fearful thing going on outside in the world, and it creates a lot of stress, and it creates a lot of anxiety. So I have a challenge for people who listen to the news regularly. And if you listen to the news every day, this is going to be a challenge, all right? So I'm recognizing this is challenging you.
Now, remember, Betty, when you say yeah. listen to it every day, listen to it every mm-hmm. day, how many times? Mm-hmm. I mean, people mm-hmm. are addicted to the news. They
That's
listen to the same
say.
Thing all day.
Yes, it is an addiction. And so the challenge is to cut down your news intake. So, for instance, if you're going back to the coffee analogy, if you're used to drinking 4 cups of coffee a day and you go cold turkey, you will have a very severe headache. I know my uncle, when he tried to quit coffee, he was drinking like 20 cups a day.
Oh, my gosh.
He was like, oh, I won't have any problems. And he quit cold turkey, and the next day he was throwing up because your body can't take it. So the same thing is with news. If you listen to the news 4 times a day, 5 times a day, just skip one news. Skip one news a day. Now, the thing is with radio, if you listen to the same radio station, if you're listening to this radio station, you know when the news starts and when the news stops. It's formulaic. It's like, what was it like? It was
right.
like
right.
5
you
or
have,
10 after the hour.
Right, you have news and weather
news.
Breaks. Exactly.
Exactly. So at that moment, you can just turn the radio off. If you need to set a timer for 5 minutes, set a timer for 5 minutes and turn it back on. So the reason why this is so important is because in order for you to feel better, in order for you to improve your life in little ways that lead to big ways, in order for you to have better health, better relationships, in order for you to have more abundance in your life financially or any other way, you do need to start to get in the driver's seat of your life. So, for instance, let's say that you are, you can pick the road that you will drive down and you will have the threat of hidden bombs and you will see cars crashing into houses and you'll be afraid that there's an explosive in your car. Or you can take the country road where you can listen to country music and be feeling great. You're most likely, if you're given that choice like that, you're most likely going to choose the country road.
Yeah, I'm thinking and I'm choosing that over the bombs in my toothpaste.
Yes, exactly. And so you get to choose what you expose yourself to. We have the saying, you are what you eat. Well, you are what you expose yourself to. You know, you are who you surround yourself with.
And that's a good point.
You are what thoughts you have. Yeah.
Because people think, you know, well, you know, they're just like, they're just there and they're going to get whatever is coming and they have no control over that. But we absolutely have control over where we put our focus and what we allow to come into our space and our mind and our hearing.
Exactly. And the thing about that is that, you know, you've really got to start small. You know, I started from a place where there was three, I could die from an asthma attack, I could die from eating a peanut at any time, or contamination, literally a particle of a peanut could kill me, or now I could just turn my head the wrong way and I could die. So I was really under a lot of stress, burnt out at work, all these things, and I needed to start slowly. I needed to start to find people to support me and people. The first step that I took was I told my job what was going on. I said, I got this crazy diagnosis. And they said, oh, my gosh, Betsy, that's really stressful. And I said, yeah, it's stressful. And they said, do you want an easier caseload of people? And my immediate response was no. Like, I'm fine, you know. And then after about 2 weeks, I was thinking about it. And I said, oh, my gosh, I didn't even know that when I was in my social work job for 10 years, that they would always give me the most difficult clients. And I didn't know this because I was just doing my job, and I did my job well, and I didn't complain, and I could get the job done. And I wasn't a squeaky wheel, so I wasn't, you know, piping up and being like, this is so hard. And so when they said, do you want to ease your caseload, I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, they're going to give me a cakewalk. They're going to give me, like, really awesome, easy clients.
Well, yeah, they're going to give you the normal caseload.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so I was like, oh, yes, please. And so then what happened was oftentimes this will happen. My life got more stressful before it got less stressful because I wound up having to train a new staff member when I was used to flying solo for so long. And the new staff member was actually in crisis as well. Her life was in crisis. And so I was training someone in crisis. I wasn't used to having any coworkers around. But she's the one who said to me, where is the spiritualist church in New York City? So that's spiritualism with a capital S. It's recognized as a world religion. And spiritualism is full of mediums. So that's people who speak to the dead. And spiritualism's aim is to prove life after death by doing evidential mediumship. So evidential mediumship is speaking to people who have died and telling the living things about the dead or things about the relationship that the medium themselves would not know. So, for instance, if I was speaking to someone's grandmother on the other side and I said, every morning in the summertime she would pick you up and you would go pick wild strawberries, and then after that she taught you how to speak to make strawberry jam, and there was no way that I could know that. That is what the spiritualist church calls evidential mediumship, proving that your grandmother is there. And so my coworker that I was training said, where's the spiritualist church? And I had no idea what she was talking about. I was like, I don't know what that is. And she explained to me, and I was kind of nervous, kind of afraid about it. But at the same time, I was very intrigued because I had only known, and there's probably some listeners out there who know of the medium Sylvia Brown, who recently passed away. She had a spot on the Montel Williams show, I think, every Wednesday for years. And that was the only exposure I had to this. And when she was on, I was like glued to the TV, but really, really scared at the same time. And so I was like, okay, that's intriguing. And that's what really started to open me up to my gifts as what I am today, and also drawing back to the childhood that I talked about of being emotionally ignored. Well, I wouldn't have such a drive to be on the radio with you today, to do readings, to do public mediumship, to do teaching and speaking engagements, if I wasn't emotionally ignored as a kid, because I still have a need for a lot of attention, I'll be honest. And now I've created a life where I get to talk on the radio, and when I'm in readings, I'm talking for an hour straight and the person is listening. But it's also empowering people. It's helping people. So I'm not just talking to hear myself talk. I'm giving out information to empower people. So I think that's another message of there's a saying out there, your mess is your message. And so my mess is all the health diagnoses and being emotionally ignored as a child. And there's a couple other messes there that I can teach from as well. But I know that that is an advantage for me, that I still need a lot of attention. And so I'm luckily really good in the spotlight. I'm luckily really good on stage. And so I'm taking those gifts, and what was a deficit when I was a kid, now I have an abundance of to use in a really healthy way. So anytime we're in a place where we're in a place of darkness, in fact, I love that what you were saying in the very beginning about thunderstorms. It's like, oh, okay, there's a downside to thunderstorms. You don't know what you can do outside, and it kind of can fudge up your plans a little bit. But then again, it waters the plant. And so we don't have to spend time watering, and we don't have to use the clean tap water to water the plants. And so every storm has an advantage and a positive side to it that eventually, if you look at it, you can start to see that and use it to your advantage. But yeah, you can't do it if you're sitting here.
I love that. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Betsy, we're going to take our quick break.
All right.
And then we'll be back with more Betsy Cohen, and we'll go into some tips on tuning into your own intuition.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Stay tuned now for a racing report and Real Country Radar weather.
Okay, everybody, we're back, and my guest this morning is Betsy Cohen, psychic medium and inspirational speaker, and we've been talking about keeping your own spirit up and things that you can do, because you're really in charge of that. You set that tone and direction, and sometimes, you know, all it takes is switching off some of those news programs that you watch all day so that you don't take yourself down in vibration and energy with all the negative stuff that comes through. Doesn't have to be a total, you know, news fast, but every little bit that you take it down, you know, adds to your good vibrations. All right. And so we're back with Betsy. And Betsy, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you do in your tuning into your own intuition class.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the stuff we were just talking about really getting into the own driver's seat, I think is really important, is about, you know, what do I want to expose myself to? Because stress, anxiety, and fear are the antithesis of your own intuition. It doesn't mean that you have to be so happy and so healthy and so perfect that, you know, that's the only time you can listen. But you do need to sort of set the base of sort of the dial so that you can tune in. But, you know, I think the very first thing that people really need to understand is that there is a voice in their head. And that sounds, sometimes the people who are listening are like, well, okay, of course. But some people, it's completely new. So what that means is that if we're silent for a second, you had something speaking in your head. You have, what am I going to eat for dinner? You have, what, you know, I got to get to work. You have, I got to go out and water those flowers, or, you know, my sister called, or anything. You have got thoughts going on in your head. If you are not aware of those thoughts, then you are going to have a very tough time tuning into your own intuition.
And that's what we're talking about, Betsy. I'm glad that you said that. You know, when you're saying talking to you, you know, it's just a thought. It's not like you're going to necessarily hear this booming voice that says, Betsy.
Right.
This is what I want you to do. They're the thoughts that are rambling around our heads all the time.
Yeah. And so we have different types of thoughts that go on in our head. We've got, you know, I believe in angels, but I actually don't believe in the devil. But if we go back to those, like, old school cartoons where you've got the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other, we have those different thoughts going on in our head. It's just like we got the judgment of people, and then we've got sort of the angel that is like, oh, let me help that old lady across the street, you know, whatever it is. And so we've got conflicting thoughts going on in our head all the time because we've got different parts of us that are speaking. So we do have our own intuitive voice. We do have our ego, which is synonymous with our fear-thinking brain. We've oftentimes talk about the fight or the flight response. So there's a part of our brain that's sort of like the ancient part of our brain. It's the oldest part of our brain. It's in the back of our head. It's called the amygdala. All that means is that pretty much all animals have this, especially reptiles. And it's the part of our brain that says, this is danger, this is safe. And if it's danger, we either have to run away from the danger or we have to fight the danger. But we don't really have a lot of that going on. It used to be that if a bear or a lion was chasing after us, we would have to either fight or run away. But we still have that part of our brain, and it still works on, you know, oh my gosh, there are hidden bombs in my toothpaste.
Yeah.
I either have to run away, but there's nowhere to run to, or I have to fight. And I don't know how to fight bombs in the toothpaste, by the way. So it really gets you into this place where you're stuck in a corner. It's another reason why to ignore all of that stuff. And so when you get to be aware of that voice in your head, you get to ask yourself, okay, is there something I can do about this fearful situation? Is it really affecting me right now? Do I need to sit here and worry about bombs in my toothpaste when I'm not even brushing my teeth? You know, I'm just sitting here in my living room talking on the radio. And so I have a couple of free resources on the website which are really going to help people and get into more of a deeper explanation of all this. But the first resource on my website is called The Heart, the Mind, and the Gut. And so it's a podcast, so it's a free streaming, kind of like a radio show kind of thing, with an article that goes with it. And so it explains that we have a voice in our head. We have a voice that comes from our heart but is also heard in the head. And we have a voice in our body and or our gut. Sometimes we hear that in words. Sometimes, most of the time, it's just in feelings. And so the heart will say something different than the mind sometimes. The gut will say something different than the other two. And so we have to start to differentiate out what those voices are. There's a text called A Course in Miracles, and it's a metaphysical text that teaches you how to have more miracles in your life, basically. And they say your ego, that fear-thinking brain, is always what speaks loudest and first. So what that means is the fear is always going to be screaming out loud. And so intuition is the voice of your spirit. You know, after you die, you don't have your body anymore, but you still exist in spirit. And so your spirit is with you right now. You are a spirit sort of driving the car that's your body. So you're not even your body. Your body is your vehicle. And so what's really great about that is your spirit speaks to you through your vehicle. It speaks.
Okay. Oh, well, somehow we got disconnected from Betsy.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is her. Hang on. WHVR.
This is Betsy.
Hi, Betsy. You're back. We're like, what happened?
That was strange. I have no idea. I have no idea. I have that full signal over here. So someone's trying to interrupt the message here.
Yeah.
So sometimes your intuition speaks to you through actual words in your head, thoughts of I should call my mom right now. I don't know why, but I should call her. But most often your spirit speaks to you through your emotions. And so whatever it is that you're doing, you need to start to not only be aware of the voices in your head, but of the emotions that you're experiencing. Our society here in America does not really put a lot of value on feelings and emotions, especially as adults. And we're actually taught to ignore a lot of those things. We're taught to power through certain things because that's what people should do. And we're taught to go the safe road because we need to be safe and secure rather than going after our dreams, which can really open us up to really awesome lives. So getting aware of your emotions, and you can just start to do that at any time. You can, you know, at breakfast time, ask yourself, how do I feel? And then you get to ask yourself, why do I feel that way? So I even get into this sometimes where either I'll have a really bad news come in or I'll have really good news come in. And let's say that I have bad news come in and then I go to sleep and then I wake up and I'm eating breakfast and I forget about that bad news, but the feeling is still there. And I say, oh my gosh, why am I feeling so bad? And then I go, oh, I remember, you know, this happened. And so it's about becoming aware of your feelings so then you can have your feelings guide you. You know, your heart will see people's fullest potential. So how many of us, especially women, but men too, but how many of us say, oh, he'll change or maybe she'll change? And what happens is we stay in a relationship that's not good for us, that keeps being not good for us. And we stay in that relationship because our heart is bonded and our heart really does see the full potential in that person. And as I always say, part of my French, potential doesn't mean, you know, jack, basically. Potential doesn't mean anything. It's what the person is actually doing. And so the mind will catch on to the heart. The heart will make a bond with someone that maybe is not really so good for you. So you have this bond, you'll be attached. And then the mind will say fearful things to you, like, well, if you leave this person, you're going to live an unhappy life. You won't have any money. You're going to lose all your friends. And in fact, you probably won't find another lover because there's no one else like this person. And there's no one else who really likes you for who you are. And so when we go through life just from the heart and the mind, we get ourselves into really, really difficult situations as opposed to if we start to listen to the gut. Now, when we get to the gut, when I say the gut, I really mean the whole body. So,
Betsy, are you there? Oh, we kept losing. I wonder, we keep losing our speaker, but I know what she's going to say there, so hopefully she'll call back. But really, it's trusting what you feel because you know how people always, or I felt a little queasy. Are we on, Gil?
Yeah, we're on, but hello, Betsy.
Are you back? All right.
I have no idea. All I can say is probably Mercury in retrograde. People probably don't know what that is, but it's in the stars.
I do, but I thought that was almost over by now.
Yeah, it's the whole month, so it is almost over, but it's the whole month.
All right, but what we're saying is trust that, you know how people say you got that sort of queasiness in your stomach
yes.
about something and it just doesn't feel right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I love that you're saying trust those feelings because mm-hmm. your heart and mind are going to play games with you.
They really are. And so there is that podcast on my website. People can go to psychicbestie.com. And it's really easy. If you forget that, you just search Psychic Betsy and I'll come up. And on the blog, so if you go to the website on the top, there's a tab that says blog. You click on the blog and you can scroll down until you get to the Heart, Mind, and Gut podcast, and that will really help things. But there's all sorts of resources on there. There's the first article on there is Empowering Empaths, A Guide to Using Your Gift. So an empath is someone who can feel what another person is feeling. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're an empath is if your loved one is suffering and it causes you to suffer as well, that means you're an empath. You're expressing empathy. And so that can really bring you down because there's a lot of suffering in the world. And so you need to learn how to be able to control that, how you can tune into your own feelings, take care of your own feelings, and then offer love to other people, offer compassion to other people, but not take on their emotions.
Right,
because otherwise,
separate
you're going
that a
down
little
with
bit.
The ship.
Right, you have to have some boundaries for yourself, too.
Exactly. So there's all sorts of resources on there. There's how to clear and protect your energy, which is exactly what we were just saying about knowing what your emotions are and what aren't your emotions and clearing out other people's energy. There's all sorts of good stuff on there for people to really tune in. And, of course, you know, I do have my class. It's called Trust Yourself, Intuitive Development Through Awareness. And that'll be online, I hope, sometime in the fall. So you can do it from wherever you are. And I'll also be teaching it live in New York City if anyone's in that area, probably also again in the fall. But if you go on the website and sign up for the newsletter, you'll be able to get all that information as it comes out. So there's discounts. Sometimes I give out free readings to the newsletter people. So you'll get all that information if you sign up for the newsletter.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And I mm-hmm. love that you're putting together such a great course, Betsy. I know mm-hmm. you are really putting a lot of time and effort into this.
I sure am.
Yeah, it's like writing a book, right?
Yes, it really is. It really is.
But it's important, and it's so great. And I love talking about this, you know, the three voices, the heart, the mind, and the gut. So, you know, those are things that everybody has, everybody uses now. Because I always tell people that, you know, when they say, oh, I don't have intuition, I said, but if I say to them, well, do you have a gut feeling about that? And they say, oh, yeah. I said, well, what do you think that was?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we use different language for the same thing, but we're all
talking about
the same thing.
That's really, really true. Yeah, I always say, you know you're intuitive if you have a body.
Well, you know, and because that's the tool we have. That's what we were given. That's our sensory tool.
That's exactly what I say. Absolutely, yep.
You know, and so people have to understand that and remember that. So when they have that feeling, and feelings, the feeling is the part that you can't fool. It doesn't really lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Some people come to me for a private reading. That's what I primarily do. And they come to me and they say, Betsy, my heart, or no, they say, my gut, it steered me wrong, you know, with this guy. Like, I had this gut feeling and blah, blah. And then I explain to them the difference between the heart, the mind, and the gut. And I say, so do you now understand that it was your heart that was telling you to do that and not your gut? And they say, oh, yeah, I was ignoring my gut.
Yeah.
So people get them confused all of the time. And a lot of times the gut, and you can, for the gut, you can say the whole body because we feel emotions throughout our whole body. But for the gut, you know, it will a lot of times say things that are completely illogical, that have no basis in logic, and then maybe later you find out they're logical. But, you know, your gut will tell you even before you go on the first date whether or not
so
this
absolutely.
Person's good for you.
So we need people to tune in more.
Yeah.
So, Betsy, believe it or not, we're coming to our close of our time, so
I believe it.
All right, so I'm going to thank you for being on with us this morning, and and I'll give people your contact information when we come back.
Perfect.
But we have to take a quick break. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All righty.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, everybody, we're back. And a big thanks to Betsy Cohen for joining us this morning. And remember, if you want to pick up some of her great tools that are free on her website, it's psychicbetsy.com. And great stuff there. So please take advantage of that. So next week, my guest will be Travis Sanders, and I just met Travis when I was out in Cleveland at my advanced mediumship class, and he is phenomenal. He's this young guy, 25, and I'm telling you, he was just so spot on. And actually, his unique story began at a very early age, but took a major turn at the age of 16 when he got a psychic reading that changed the course of his life forever. He's young but accomplished, and he's appeared on national television regarding his work with spirit. He's been, in fact, you might have seen him. He was on A&E's Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal, as well as Entertainment Tonight, The Insider, and he can be seen on Nancy Grace as well as numerous news stations. It's just amazing what all he's done. He's been on a variety of radio programs, including Paravision, ParaX, as well as CBS Radio. He's a certified Reiki teacher and has also received paraprofessional training in the psychic arts and is certified by Doreen Virtue, PhD, and you all know Doreen as the Angel Lady, as well as ongoing training with Lilydale Medium and author Sharon Klingler. And that's where I met him at a course with Sharon. So Travis is just a soul on a journey with a passion just like you, and we will love having him on next week with us. Also, a reminder to you, we were talking about how to tune into your intuition, and I have a class coming up exactly on that. It's going to be Saturday, July 19th. From 9 to 1 p.m. in the morning at the Eichelberger Professional Center in Hanover. And I would love to have you join me and learn some new techniques to develop your own intuitive voice and find out how it works for you in your daily life. And most of all, to stop doubting what you're getting because you're getting things right now. So please give me a call if you'd like to find out more or register. The number at my office is 717-968-3000. 7168-5289. Again, that's 717-968-5289. Okay, great, everybody. Have a super week, and I'll be back next Tuesday for more of Heart to Heart.